Now, we're going to be looking at the first reading and a little bit at the psalm. You see, the theme of this Sunday, the 17th, and the next one, the 18th, is wisdom. Now, wisdom is an acquisition of the heart. What do I mean by that? I want to read a paragraph. It's written by Father Robert Sokolowski, but he's quoting Robert Spemann, a German philosopher who has a lovely book. It's called Difference Between Jemand, Etwas und Jemand, Something and Someone. What's the difference? You see, the heart is the ground for the turning away from the good. This is Spemann. And it is also, conversely, the ground for the turn toward the good and toward truth. Now, this is Sokolowski. Furthermore, according to Spemann, this turning toward or turning against is not just a response to an argument or to an idea, but a response to someone, God, and in the more immediate situation, Christ, who discloses the truth. See, the heart is that place within us where we are in direct relationship to God, and that's it. We can't wiggle out of that. So we can corrupt our heart. We can do all kinds of things to stay away from that confrontation, that union. But you see, choosing good or choosing evil is not just good and evil. It's God or non-God. And that's what Spemann is saying in a very beautiful book called, it's in English now, that book. In English it's, I forgot what the title is. Anyway, this concept of the heart is an ultimate explanation for the turn toward truth or darkness, and it is original in the New Testament. It's adumbration in the Old Testament. The heart, this is Spemann again, is the unfounded foundation in a sense for which there is no thinkable or conceptual equivalent in antiquity. You've got to see that. Huh? With the incarnation and the relating to Jesus Christ, we discover a dimension of our own being, the heart. There's beautiful texts about the heart in the Old Testament. I have a whole bunch of them right here. But this direct, in other words, we just don't choose God or, you know, good or evil. We choose God or non-God. And we're in direct relationship and we can't wiggle out of it. We can drink, we can go make a lot of money, we can do whatever we want to stay away from the challenge of that relationship, but it's always there. So the theme of this liturgy is wisdom. And so it begins with our text from 1 Kings. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, I want to get this straight here. And God said, you have shown, ask, God said, ask. Sha'alma. Etten lach. Ask what you want, and I'll give it to you. And then our text skips a few lines, which are so beautiful. I guess they're trying to save time. And you see, as Solomon said, you have shown great and steadfast chesed to my father David. Chesed gadol. Gadol is the word for big, great chesed. As he walked before you in faithfulness, and all the words we've seen so many times are here again. See, he walked lifnecha ve'emet u'besiraka u'beyishada levav imak. We've seen all these words. They're so precious. You see, he walked before you in emet. 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 Emet means truth. In modern Hebrew, somebody says it's going to rain this afternoon. You say, be'emet? Really? In truth? You see? But the word comes from aman, where we get amen. It means to be solid. Truth, biblically, is what lasts. It stays. Therefore, If you look at Psalm 1, blessed is the man who doesn't, you know, according to the counsel of the wicked. But he's like a tree planted by the water. Emet. He stands there. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff blown by the wind. You've seen these huge empires in my own lifetime disappear. German, Russian, Chinese. Chinese is on its way. So he walked with Behemet in solidity and fidelity. And you see, the Tzedakah, which is righteous, you know, justice. I can't go on with these. And Beyishrat Levav, with straightness of heart. You see that Levav there, that heart, getting close to the New Testament understanding. Yashar, see? A heart that is straight, no wrinkles. You know when you meet somebody, whether they got wrinkles or not. You know, whether you're meeting like the fourth layer of their being, or whether you're talking to them. There's a line in Psalm 12, I think it is, describing the wicked. And it says, Lev v'lev yedeberu. They speak with heart and heart. They're not speaking with their heart. They're speaking with a false heart. Let me tell you what I really think. Watch when somebody says that. They might not be telling you what they really think. Lev v'lev yedeberu. See what I mean? Okay. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made me king in place of my father David, though I am but a child. He's old enough to have children, but I mean he's a child. I do not know, this is a very Semitic, how to go out or come in, I don't know anything. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind, is the way that is translated there in verse 9. The text says, Yishvot Ankan, Natati Lav Kalev Shomea, a listening heart. See how important it is that we hear the text? A listening heart is not the same. Well, I guess that's the best we can do in English. But I mean, but how did they translate that? An understanding mind. No. A listening heart. What's a listening heart? It's a heart that trusts God. It doesn't have to have a screen in front of itself. It can let reality in because it trusts God. That step just below where we are, directly related to God. So give me a listening heart. It's a beautiful phrase, you see. Might I discern between good and evil. You notice that's the temptation. You will know good and evil in Genesis. Here he says, no, I want to know the difference. I want you to tell me the difference. I don't want to know good and evil in the sense that I do what I want. And I say whether it's good or evil. No, I want you to tell me what's good and evil. That's wisdom. You see? Okay, and it's in the heart. You see? It pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this, and God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but ask for yourself understanding to discern what is right. Therefore, I'll give you that, and I'll give you all the rest besides. So you see, a poor guy, he got distracted with girls as time went on and kind of lost it. It can happen to anybody. But he had wisdom. And of course, right after this prayer, in the book of Kings, we have the incident where the two prostitutes come to him, one of them had a baby, and they're arguing over whose baby it is. Well, I'll tell you briefly in case you don't remember that story. So these two prostitutes are there arguing, it's my baby, no, it's my baby, it's my baby. So Solomon said, bring a sword. He said to the soldier, "Now, cut that baby in half and give each a half." And one said, "Yes, that's a good idea." And the other said, "No, no, no, give it to her." So the one who said, "Give it to her," that's the mother. She'd rather have the baby there than dead. And he said, "Ah, you're the mother." Sign of wisdom. You all know that story, don't you? That's grammar school we learned that, I think. Okay. Now just a few words. The refrain for the psalm is, "Lord, I love your commands." And then it starts, you see. I have said, O Lord, that my part is to keep your words. Helki Adonai amarti lishmor divarecha. To keep, to guard, to protect, to cherish your words. Whatever you say, God, is really important. And I want to learn to hang on to it. You see? This is the psalm. It's Psalm 119. It's the great big psalm. We all know that one, right? We all know about it. It goes in blocks of 8 verses. And each line, each verse of that 8 starts with the same letter. Aleph, and then Beth, and then Gimel, and so forth. And people say, well, it's a somewhat artificial, but as you get into it, you realize it's a very contemplative psalm. My part is to keep your words, the law of your mouth, you see, is more precious than thousands of gold and silver pieces. What will I do with all that money if I don't know how to live? God knows we have in our culture people loaded down with billions of dollars who are fools. They don't even know how to enjoy their money. Nevertheless, have no idea how to live a life that is pleasing to God and gives them that joy and that security of relating to God and getting to know Him. Why? Because wisdom is in the heart, okay? Then move on. The verses skip a lot. You go from 57 to 72. They just picked out a few punchlines. Tovli, Torat Vika. You see? Better to me, the teaching. Torah, by the way, comes from a root yada, which means to point out. Torah is teaching. It's not law. It's teaching. It's a famous line somewhere, Book of Proverbs. It says, listen to your father and pay attention, Torah, to the Torah of your mother. You see, the teaching of your mother. Pay attention to it. You see, we need teaching. Let your kindness comfort me, according to your promise to your servants. Let your compassion come to me, that I may live. Huh? For your law is my delight. Huh? Now, suppose I had an exam now, and I said, what's the word for compassion in this text? What would you say? You've heard it now lots. Rachum, from Rechem, which means womb. The compassion that I come from your center and you love me like a mother loves her own child. All right? That's very important in the search for wisdom. And we'll move on now.